During these weeks of Lent, we are giving ourselves to learning about the spiritual disciplines, because across the centuries, even before Christ came and after, these practices have been the practices by which people who long to draw closer to God can hear him more clearly. It's not about getting on God's good side. It's not about doing things that will gain his favor, as if we could ever be good enough to earn his favor. No, it's really about, again, clearing out all the other voices, making room for God to speak in our hearts and in our minds. And I'm grateful for what we've gained already. The first Sunday we talked about Sabbath keeping and the very fact that we're made for periods of rest, periods to clear out other anxieties and activities, to let our souls catch up with our bodies and our minds, rather than constant stimulation like our current world and our current setting always calls us to be thinking of something and doing something. No, resting, just as the choir sang a minute ago, resting in God's presence is one of the critical ways we will learn to hear God's voice, and we must make time for it, regardless of what our culture says about go, go, go. Then the second week, we learned about scripture searching, and how hearing the story and reading the stories and all that God commands through his servants, the prophets and the apostles who wrote for us, will be crucial for us to be able to hear God's voice. For these words were not just made for an ancient audience, they were made for you and I. And then we practiced that by looking at Psalm 119 and every day giving ourselves to a set of 16 verses to listen, to think, to process what God might be saying to each of us. A wonderful discipline, to be sure. And then last Sunday, we heard a Brother Axel preach to us about the importance of prayer and how prayer is an important channel, the direct link, as it were, to talk to God and to listen to God. Sometimes we have to pour out our hearts to him with words or groans and utterings for the depth of emotion that can make it seem so silent. And only as we open ourselves through prayer are we able to begin to process and to make space and clarity for us to interpret well what the Lord has for us. And now we move on. We move on to another. And I'm wondering if my sermon or slides are here, and I'm hoping they are. No, I don't see him. That's unfortunate. Okay, well, let's go on then. Fasting. Fasting is a process and a discipline which doesn't sound pleasant at all, does it? No, I must say it's not easy to do, and it's not something we look forward to. But over and over, wherever fasting appears in the scripture, we find that fasting is done for a reason. Not for weight loss, not to prove how strong we are, not even to show God how miserable we may feel at times, and we do. Fasting is that practice which says things in this planet and in my life are not as they should be, and I'm powerless to make the change that needs to happen. And God, I am going to even withhold the things that give me physical strength in hopes and in earnest desire that you will be the mover, that you will change my situation. Think about it. When Jesus is transfigured, he comes down from the mountain. He finds his disciples trying to cast a demon out of a young man who throws the young man into the fire to kill him. And the disciples are vexed. They can't understand why they can't cast out this demon. The demon says this. Jesus says this only comes out by prayer and fasting. This only comes not just by calling my name. It comes by purposely stopping your own comfort to feel discomfort so that you may be a source of comfort to others, and God may see that and somehow, in a way we don't understand, work through it. Over and over again, when fasting is portrayed in the scriptures, it's not just about showing God we're helpless and we need you to move because we're powerless. It's also a desire for us to see God set things right and to help us deny ourselves of the pleasures that we use to comfort ourselves regularly. Because let's be honest, food is a comfort. In fact, there's a whole class of things called comfort foods. And you enjoy them, don't they? Because they taste good and they feel satisfying in the mouth. And as they go down, we feel comforted and filled by them. But we say no to those things because we want to live in the discomforting place, knowing that God can bring comfort not just to us but to the circumstances around us. Not to belabor it anymore, but let's get an example. In Isaiah's day, many troubling things had happened. God's people were in a weak place geographically and militarily, and the Assyrian Empire was on the move, taking over as many things as they could. And under Sargon II, they were very swift and furious. And as they came down upon little Israel and Jerusalem, they totally wiped Israel from the map. And a few years later, they came back for that southern portion that was David's loyal heritage from the beginning, the portion in which the kingdom of Judah was established, and one of David's great-great-grandsons was now on the throne. And as the Assyrian hordes came, and there seemed to be no way to change the situation, God's people realized it was time not to just be clever and form alliances. It was time to fast and plead with God because of the discomfort of this situation. And so they did what they thought fasting meant. It meant to them not eating food. It meant taking off their comfortable clothes and putting on sackcloth, which is scratchy and uncomfortable and horrible. I don't suggest you make any clothes out of it. And pouring ashes on their head as if to say, "Oh God, we are dust, and to dust we shall return unless you do something to change this situation." Imagine, if you will, a city full of people doing this, kneeling, praying, pleading in their discomfort and in their hunger, longing for God to change their situation. God's eyes are always upon the city of Zion, so he says so many times, and his eyes were on the city at this time. And as Isaiah the prophet, now fairly late in his life, also watched all these people show all this spiritual discipline of pleading for God's help, he got the privilege of hearing what God said in response to this great fast. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 58, beginning at verse 1.
Shout aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. "Why have you fasted?" they said. "You have not seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet in the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. As this be the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and your cry for help, he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malice talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the old foundations and will be called repairers of the broken walls, restorer of the streets and dwellings. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. God's response has some very interesting words and thoughts to it, doesn't it? God says to the people who are fasting, "Do you really think this is the kind of fast that I want? Just to see you making yourself suffer? Do you think that somehow you earn something by doing this?" Almost sarcastic, but not really. "You fast as if you are a people who do what is right. Let's not kid ourselves. I watch you every moment of the day and night. And you may be all holy and needy right now. But whenever I deliver you, it's right back to angry fists and pointing fingers and horrible words toward each other. Do you really think that's the kind of life that I can bless? Ouch. Some things are just human nature. They never change, do they?" God says, "I think that you're really most interested in fasting because it's all about your self-concern. You want to be safe. You want to be protected. You don't want to walk with me. You just want what I can provide for you. That's really what you want. I think it's fairly obvious." And then God gets right down to it. Here's what fasting isn't about. It isn't about bowing your head and laying low in sackcloth and ashes, showing how humble you can act. I'm not interested in that. That's just a show. Kind of like people who come to worship me, but their hearts are far from me. Don't be thoughtful about the outward expression of what you're asking. Dig right into the very depth of your soul and speak to me in the ways that are honest about who you are and what you bring. Yes, humility is a right response to God. Humility is the only right response to God. And there's nothing wrong with outward expressions of humility, but God is concerned about the function of our lives. And he says, "Do you want me to make clear to you a path forward? Then this is what you must do." Listen carefully, folks, people of God, people of Jerusalem, people of Toronto, people of every time and place. This is how you get to hear God's voice and see his intervention. Number one, loosen. Loosen the chains that bind. You're humans. You're always scraping, just like the Assyrian emperor now is trying to put you in bondage to him so that you'll pay him your taxes and bow low before him and honor him above all others, just like you would your own king if you were free and independent. No. I want you to loosen the bonds of bondage, the chains of bondage. There are people all over this world who are in bondage of so many different kinds, some of them literal bondage. Slavery is alive and well. I hate to break the news to you, more well than it's ever been in the history of the world, when it was actually a legal form of business, because now it's underground. And there are many, many more people who are trafficked in slavery. Many, many more people who are under bondage of others who manipulate them and use them, sometimes even in their own families. Don't they? Loosen the chains that bind. Oh, that's a big problem. God, how does my fasting do that? And how in fasting do you want me to just not eat? You want me to actually loosen the bonds of other people. Oh, but wait, there's more. God says, I want you to share your bread with the hungry. Sounds like a good Christian thing to do, doesn't it? There will always be poor, there will always be hungry, but if you did better to feed the poor and to make way for them and care for people who are in desperate need, then you'll be fasting better than not eating yourself. In fact, do this. Instead of eating for your own comfort, put your food to someone who needs it, who isn't fasting, someone who's poor and can't get their own. That I'll hear. That I'll move in response to. Fasting isn't just about your denial. It's about the provision for others. And if your fasting is only about your discomfort and not about comfort to another, then you've only got fasting half right. But wait, there's more. God says, I want you to give clothing to the naked. There are people who don't have the economic finery that you have and don't have a closet from which they can choose many things. If they have something enough to keep them warm, they count themselves lucky. Instead of fasting, provide for their physical needs. Find a way in which your exercise of fasting will actually put a cloak of comfort and warmth and protection around someone else. Because if you do that, that's the kind of fasting God responds to. But here's the good news, and it follows in verse 8. God says, if that's the kind of fasting you do, and not this showy woe is me and look at my pain and intervene for me, if you do this other giant piece that goes with it, here's what will happen in your reality. Light will break forth out of darkness. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're in a pretty dark situation and there is no light to see the way forward and you don't know how you're going to get out of this terrible pit you're in. That's exactly what they felt, knowing that Sargon II was at the gates, ready to slice them all down. God says, I will bring a brilliant light that will show you a way forward, and you know exactly what you should do, and it will work out because my light will come to you. And when God uses the word light, often in the scriptures, particularly this word in its original language, he's talking about guidance. I will show you the way to go. I will help you know what to say. I will help you know how to approach this problem or this person or this situation that you don't have the strength to change. I will show you what your part is in it. I will guide you with light from my holy wisdom. The next thing that God promises he'll give, also in verse 8, healing. Yeah, you know, that's it, isn't it? We're not getting any younger. Things are breaking down in the body. We pray often, and if fasting will help bring healing, oh God, help the knees to work, help my body to function properly and all the organs and all of the parts of my brain to be fully operational till the day you take me home. Don't let me be weak, Lord. Bring your healing. Yes, God says, if you do the fasting part, it will come to you. I will heal you. I will heal your body. And he refers to a holistic kind of healing. This word indicates not just physical well-being, but emotional well-being, relational well-being. Your life will fill out and you'll have the shalom, the peace of God. That's what I give to those who fast rightly. Wouldn't that be amazing? And there's another thing God gives, also in verse 8. And it's words that speak of how I will be with you in the midst of those who persecute you. I will go before you. Your righteousness, God says, I am your righteousness. I will go before you to face Sargon II. And I will be your rear guard. And on every side, I'll have your back, front and back. And you don't have to worry about what your enemies or your persecutors or your detractors are going to say. Because I will protect not just you, but your reputation. I will protect everything you put your hand to. It will be blessed, just as David was blessed of God in everything he did, although the king tried to kill him on several occasions. David never lifted his hand against the Lord's anointed. He always waited for God to remove Saul, his predecessor, and that was a few hundred years before this story. And suddenly Israel's reminded of how this came to be. God, the one who goes before me, the one who comes behind me, the one who protects me in every way. And God says to his people now, I will protect you. I will bless all of your life. And then he picks up some words that are reiterated in verse 11 about it's like a garden. You'll be like a spring in a garden. And the water just shoots out and it flows out and everything around it grows. And that's how I want your life to be. I want you and every person who comes to association with you to have life and provision and grow because they're in proximity to someone who's a bubbling channel of my blessing. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if fasting, true and right fasting, led to that? It reminded me of something that an elder in one of my churches said to me once years ago. He said, I hope, Pastor, that we'll always be strong to support missions around the world, whether it's evangelism or feeding the poor or protecting refugees or anything like that, because I believe with all my heart that when we do those things, God will never let us be in want because we're being a channel, a flowing stream of what he wants to pour out, not just for us, but for everybody else that we open hands and give to, share our bread as it will. And indeed, that very idea is right here in Isaiah 58. Maybe when you saw the word in the bulletin, you thought, oh, Pastor's going to ask us to not eat this week. That would be the deficient way of asking you to fast. Because this is the kind of fast God desires. That you let your discomfort become a source of comfort for someone whose discomfort is an everyday reality. And when you do, God says, I will guide you, I will heal you, I will protect you, I will bless you, and the whole world through you. Really, that's what he wanted to do through the entire Jewish nation, because he had promised to Abraham, I will make your name great, and the world will be blessed through you, because that's how I am. I pick a people, and I wish, and I long, and I plead for them to hear my voice, and follow my commands, and love me, and love their neighbor as themselves, and when they do that kind of pouring out, blessing just bubbles up. So let's get to it. There are some ways that our church has been very faithful to do these things, and to connect it with fasting, I think, will make us a strong people. And if we practice this fasting well, I want to believe that the good things God says he's going to give to the people in Jerusalem back in 718 was right around the time this writing took place, that maybe it will happen for us too. So let's talk about those three things. First, there's divide your bread with the hungry. Okay, I think we've got a way to do that. In your bulletin today, you'll see we're giving to the Kamakwi Hospital in Sierra Leone. And you know we've always been faithful supporters of the Alpha Project, and that's helping severely malnourished children to have nurture back to life and to train their families in how to use local plants to increase their vitamin content so that they won't fall under these terrible circumstances in the future. It's been a wildly successful program, and I'm so grateful that we are a part of feeding the hungry. Well, here's a picture of little Alpha, the boy who died and through whom this program originated. And if you want to be supportive of this project as a part of your fasting, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take this envelope that says right on the front, divide your bread with the hungry. And inside the envelope is a spoon. And I'll ask you to take this with you this week, and somewhere, sometime when you're fasting by not eating literally, you will think of how much it cost you if you had eaten today. Maybe you'll think of your favorite restaurant, your favorite best restaurant that you like to go to, and you'll think and remember how much you pay to take you and your spouse or you and your kid or you and your best friend there, and you'll say, you know what, Lord, I want to give that amount to you. That will be my fasting. Let my fasting be not complete until I have given forward what I would have spent on my own comfort. And then next Sunday when you come back, bring it in this envelope. Keep the spoon as a reminder to pray for those who are hungry. That would be one way you could keep the fast. And everything you bring for that project, every cent will go directly to that project. Another thing that God says in his word here is loosen the chains of injustice. I've already mentioned human trafficking is a real problem, even here in our wonderful city of Markham. The police tell us, oh yeah, it happens in these neighborhoods. You better believe it. And sometimes it's easy not to notice. But one of the ways our church has responded is a source. Odessa, Ukraine. Our own Montrese Martin took a trip there a few years ago where they're building houses to help girls who are pushed out of the orphanage at age 12 and are picked up by the traffickers that very day because they watch the gates of the orphanage. And they promise to take care of them and come get on the boat. We'll take you to a place where you can get work. We've built a house there and a second house there to help these girls get from the orphanage into a safe place where they're trained how to learn some skills so they can start to function like adults even at 12 because they don't have the money to go to school, but they can do some skills training. And it's amazing how we've been a part of this, loosening the chains of bondage in the world. So maybe this is something you'll take an envelope here, and when you come up, if you choose this one, you'll open this envelope and you'll see in it, oh, there's a price tag. Maybe you'll write on here the things you're praying for these women, or maybe the young men and women, even in our own city, who need God to loose them from bondage. Pray this and see what God would lead you to give toward this charity. Maybe each day it'll be an amount. Maybe you'll go through your closet and you'll say, what is it I could... No, I'll stay away from the clothes part. That's next. Injustice. What injustice have I experienced Have I lost something significant? Something financial? Maybe a deal that went wrong or a job that I lost? Maybe there's an amount connected to that loss that still bugs me today. I'm going to give that amount, and I'm going to put it in here, and I'm going to bring it back in this envelope next Sunday, and every single bit you give next Sunday in one of those envelopes will go to this project. And the third thing is just bare. There's no covering. When you see the naked, clothe them. I was thinking about how babies are born naked. They don't bring anything into the world and they don't take anything with them. And we have a local charity right here in Markham that we support and pray for regularly called the Markham Pregnancy Center. And sometimes when a girl gets in a situation, sometimes by her choice and sometimes not at all. And she feels like there is no way forward and there's no way she can give anything to this child. She decides to terminate the pregnancy because there isn't any other option. There's no one to help her buy clothes, pay for the medicine, change her whole life of taking care of a child, or even to help her adopt it, maybe, if that's the option. And so it's just easier to eliminate the pregnancy. This pregnancy center often calls for diapers, things that clothe the newborn, things that a baby has to have on its body from the moment it comes out of the womb, almost. They're expensive. Maybe you have a heart for that kind of ministry, and maybe you'll take just not an envelope, but a card. A card. I'm going to clothe the naked, Lord. I'm going to go buy a big box of diapers. And I'm going to bring it back so that the church can give a massive offering of this very practical covering so the child can live and have what they need and an option can be had. Maybe while you're fasting, you'll go to the store where you pick up that big bag of diapers, box, whatever they're in. And maybe you'll spend as much there as you would otherwise on clothing you would buy for yourself if you went to the mall. Maybe then God would hear your fasting and God would be quick to respond and send his blessing because you've decided it's not just about your comforts and living with what you have, but it's about clothing someone else and not with your castaways either. With something fine, the amount that's fine that would have bought that. Maybe you'll take a card, and maybe on the card you'll write down prayers for the moms-to-be and the workers and the laws of this country and the needs of children who are desperate right here in our city. And when you come back next week, you'll keep the card, but you'll bring a big old box of diapers, and we'll put them on the table, and we'll put them on the front row, and we'll put them next to the altar. And I even asked our treasurer about this, so don't worry. I said, you know what? I really feel like the Lord would have us just give everything next Sunday to one of these things. The whole offering. Not one penny for our church and its needs and its bills. Everything out the door. I think that would be a great way for us to keep the fast. In fact, I think that's the only faithful way we can keep a fast this week. Because God said, I'm not so concerned about your comfort. I'm concerned about this comfort. And if your fasting is going to be done rightly, it's going to involve this. Sacrifice that gives comfort to someone else. We're Methodists. We call this social holiness. Some people call it activism. But we call it faithfulness to the God who said to Isaiah and to his people, as he's always said, I'm not so interested in your bowing your head, in your comfortable clothes, and feeling your momentary pain. But I respond fiercely and quickly and brightly and life-givingly to those who use their discomfort to comfort another. So what will it be? Will you feed the hungry? Or will you clothe the naked? Or will you loosen the bonds of injustice? Because all this week I'm going to be involved in one of these, and I hope you will too. And next Sunday when we come to bring everything we've got that creates discomfort for us, it's going to create comfort for others. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And we're going to go into some time of singing, some songs of how we're hungry for God and we recognize our need for Him. And as we do, I invite you to, as God leads you, come and take either one card or one envelope or one envelope and go with and enter into fasting. Fasting the way the Lord wants to respond to fasting. Powerfully, beautifully. Give comfort. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Please stand as we sing.
We are called to you, for I know satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I
I didn't make enough for everybody to take all three, but I'm so grateful for your willingness to do that. Just take one, please, so there'll be enough for all. Thank you.
Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're
my knees, I'm
falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your all is heart is living for.
Jesus, your heart. Jesus,
your heart is all.
Jesus,
your heart, this heart is living for.
Jesus,
your heart, this heart is living for.
Next one. Every day your glory unfolds.
Your treasures untold, the beauty of holiness, worship anew. My greatest love is you.
Every day.
Worship anew.
Call me deeper.
Call me deeper into your grace, the river that flows from the holy place. Wash over me, cleansing me through. My greatest love is you.
Wash over me. Wash over me,
cleansing me through. My greatest love is you.
Holy God, we come to you ready to enter the fast in a way that you have deemed good, in the way that you have said you will respond, and how we anticipate the guidance and the healing and the protection and the life-giving spring that you will well up through us and all around us. How we long to be a people not just concerned about our own comforts, but to truly act in the comfort of others. For then our faith will be realized and your power will move with great glory. How beautiful it will be. Let us learn to endure even the temporary discomforts of this life, that others may have life and hope that flows from your hands. We turn back our attitudes, our pointing fingers, and our excusing ourselves, Lord, in favor of what you may yet do. And this week we invite you to speak into our deepest yearnings, even for the comforts of food itself, to show us how you want us to loosen, to give, to share with these little mementos we've chosen today. Let it never be far away from us, Lord. For the needs of this world are never far away from your loving eyes. Nor would we be. Even as we commit ourselves to keep a fast in whatever way you've shown us is best, we look forward to what you will do. And with great hope in our hearts, look for your deliverance. For all that we've already poured out to you, we are indeed hungry for you. You alone supply our needs. And in these closing words, you alone, Lord, we ask that you would help us to find great fullness this week and always, through Christ our Lord. Amen.